Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good Saturday morning to you. This is MC Blair, and we've got a great show lined up for you. We've got some great interviews from Bel Air Farm, Jamie Barrett down there. Also, Courtney Evans, and then some folks from City Schoolyard Gardens. So we've got a full lineup for you right here, 94.7 WPVC, the voice of resistance right here in Central Virginia. Let's get on to our first. This is Courtney Evans.
I am sitting here with Courtney Evans of the PB&J Fund. She's been over there for a while. We're going to talk to her today. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. How long have you been over there at PB&J?
Do you know, I've been there now since 2012. It would have been fall of 2011. Mm-hmm. I spent about 3.5 months working on a organic farm, and everything was done by hand, and I worked in the garden and worked with the grapes for the wine and then the olives for the olive harvest for the oil, and it was just an amazing time there. Definitely, I think being in touch with the earth, with our hands, it was just special. Took me back to our roots for sure.
I noticed the mission, PB&J Fund, you're part of the Food Justice Network.
That is correct, we sure are.
16 organizations, and you connect Charlottesville youth with the resources and knowledge necessary to develop a healthy diet.
Correct.
That's awesome.
I guess our goal really is to create choices and to empower kids to know how to cook and to know that there are options that are out there. So we're constantly coming back to that. We actually, it's funny because we recently did a unit on it was fast food makeover that we worked with the kids.
Yeah.
And so we took different menu items that we felt would be really popular at fast food restaurants and then brought it to the kitchen and made them healthier. And so I remember one was a grilled ranch chicken sandwich where we obviously grilled the chicken. We made sweet potato fries with that where we roasted the sweet potatoes in the oven and had whole grain buns. And so I think we constantly come back to that message that there are healthy options out there.
Yeah, they taste it and they go, this is really good.
And that they've made it, and
they
realize it does taste really yummy. So,
and that goes to the second portion of the mission, which is by working to develop a healthy diet by working with community partners to provide healthy meals and teach cooking habits, aims to address kids' nutritional needs at each stage of development, which is great. Now, we had that kind of dovetails in a couple of weeks ago. We had a couple of gals here from UVA, Sybil Kranz and Anna Maria Sigariz. They are focusing their research on the healthy diet for the first 1,000 days of life.
Huh.
It was first 3 years, so they're given that nice, strong platform, getting with the caregivers, and then, of course, they can just dovetail right into this when they get into the schools, and they're already aware a little bit, you know. You mentioned Chef Kids.
Yep. Yeah. Chef Kids. Yeah.
All right. So talk about that.
Chef Kids. So we are so lucky that we have wonderful partners. And so we work with, just to name a couple, for our Chef Kids program, the Boys and Girls Club of Central Virginia. Mm-hmm. We work with the Southwood Unit, Cherry Avenue, as well as Jack Jewett, as well as the City of Promise in the West Haven community. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, City Schoolyard Garden, Parks and Recreation.
Absolutely. We've had them on.
And so during the school year, we primarily focus on after-school programming. So kids will come to us after school is over, and then we will cook with them. And so we focus, right now we're focusing on various units. So we did a fast food makeover unit, we did a Tex-Mex unit, and with the idea that we're creating recipes that are healthier, introducing whole grains, introducing fresh vegetables and fresh fruits, as well as cooking techniques to kids. And really it's for their empowerment and for their enjoyment as well, too, to create a healthy meal. We focus in on moderation as well, and so we, of course, we allow for desserts, we cook desserts, but then teaching that those treats are in moderation as well. So, and then using my plate as our reference, too, so having half your plate fruits and vegetables, whole grains, milk, protein. So it's fun, and the kids, I think they'll, maybe they'll see what we're making, and they weren't they won't be quite so sure about it until after they finish making it. And then all of a sudden they want to try it and taste it. And then we talk about how it tastes. And we offer their suggestions as well on what could we do to make the recipe better. And so they actually have a big say in what we cook.
Do you hear feedback from the families, or at least the kids reporting back how now mom and dad or whoever the main caregiver is are starting to come around to that?
That's a great question. We heard, I remember one of the instructors that teach for us out in the community at Boys and Girls Club, and one of our instructors came to us and said that his student had said at the grocery store, had asked his mom to buy broccoli. He knew how to cook with broccoli, and we were so excited about that. And then in the summertime, we do summer camps where we work, and we partner with the local food hub and do a summer tastings program where we highlight a produce each week, and that produce item, whether or not it's tomatoes or cucumbers or peppers, is in every recipe. And I remember last year we were doing kale 1 week, and the kids wanted to take home bunches of kale because they wanted to make kale chips at home. So we do have stories like that just totally make our week.
Yes, sir. That's Courtney Evans, and she's no longer with the PB&J Fund, but they are still there, and of course part of the Food Justice Network right here in Charlottesville. And another part is City Schoolyard Garden. So here's an excerpt from that interview as well. And getting these kids involved early in their lives is so, so important and such a community builder, if you will. So here's the excerpt from City Schoolyard Gardens.
Great partners as well. I think another really good one, and I was actually talking to one of the school board members last night, and she was mentioning a family coming through and getting to see Buford Garden as they're moving to the area, and how excited they were about the opportunity for their family to take part in what's going on there at Buford, which is the middle school here in the city. About 95% of parents and teachers feel that having a CSG garden at their school is very important. And so she got to see that firsthand with this family, that they were, you know, looking around the school, trying to make some decisions, saw that garden, and fell in love.
Oh my.
Which is what we want to happen for families.
Absolutely.
And students, you know, for their families as well.
Yeah, and I imagine that the kids and you know, any of the participants in with the City Schoolyard Garden is they feel maybe a sense of pride and obviously health, we
yeah.
hope, you know. Do you find the students do better in school?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a variety of reasons why. I mean, you can look at different, if you're talking about actual academic performance or feeling as though they have a place to be that belongs to them. There's many different reasons why students who are engaged in being in the garden, being healthy. I mean, that, of course, having a healthy snack before you have to take a test or, you know, do work in class,
yeah.
that can have a significant effect on how you perform. So there's a ton. We have been doing evaluations over the years, so we have research to back that up as well as to how the experience having the garden there, participating in the programs, really does provide great outcomes for the students.
Oh, man. You're listening to Your Health here on WPVC 94.7 Resistance Radio, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And we're talking with Jeanette Abinader and Aline Carey of City Schoolyard Garden. You mentioned before about how Charlottesville High School actually has an accredited course now. Is that...
Well, they're starting one.
They're starting one in the fall.
Yeah, so the garden at Charlottesville High School has been there for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Davis, who's a teacher at the high school, started the garden just on his own. He's been doing it for a couple years, and he has a garden to market class. So it's a class where students grow things in the garden and then learn about how to market them. They have a small CSA, they grow transplants, and then they sell those.
Oh, my.
So that's been really amazing. And then we just joined forces. So he's been doing that for a few years. We just joined forces with him this year, and the principal, Dr. Irizarry, is super excited about the garden and wants to make it an integral part. So they're offering a new urban agricultural course this fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now would that go through the summer?
No, the course will be during the school year. It'll be a regular academic course.
Okay.
At least at this point, it's not. They're not planning for it to be in the summer.
Yeah, I was just saying that. That's a good growing time.
Right. Yeah.
You know, just in the summer, to keep the kids off the streets.
Right. We use a lot of the gardens are used in the summer for summer camps.
We
partner up with Parks and Rec and the Boys and Girls Club and the PB&J Kitchen. Lots of different partners, as Aline mentioned. And have different camps out at the gardens.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
So you've got the seedling giveaway.
So one of the things at Buford Middle School, where we have a full-time garden educator at the school, she hosts a daily garden aid class. That's Emily Axelbaum. She hosts two classes. And one of the goals, as the students coming up from the elementary school into middle school, they're starting to learn more about civic engagement, about leadership. So the students that are in this class, they take responsibility for the garden all the way from ordering seeds this time of year, designing the garden, all the way to, you know, planting, seeding, caring, harvesting. And in the spring, as part of their community service hours, they use a hoop house that we have put up, and they grow all kinds of seedlings. They grow over 5,000 seedlings.
Wow.
And then distribute them to organizations in this across the city, nonprofits, community gardens, that we work with, you know, various groups, and the students get to take some home too.
Oh, man,
yeah,
that's a great idea.
Yeah,
and then everything that's left over, we have a seedling sale.
Yeah,
so that the public can also come on in. And so this spring, that'll be May 4th and 5th for the public to come in after we've been able to donate to area partners.
So that's May 4th and 5th, location?
At Buford.
Oh, at Buford Middle School.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the evening, probably.
In the evening.
Like 4 or 5 o'clock.
4 or 5 o'clock, and there'll be announcements for
that. We'll have it on our website,
Okay. So that, and that's www.cityschoolyardgarden.org is the website for that.
Folks, obviously that's passed, so these are excerpts from previous interviews. And the website is correct, however, so you can still access City Schoolyard Gardens with their website. But anyway, just letting you know.
What's your mission?
Do you want to hit that, Aline? Sorry.
Yeah, sure. We always talk about how we pitch ourselves, how we talk to you all about what we do. The short answer is that we're here to cultivate academic achievement, health, environmental stewardship, and community engagement through garden-based experiential learning in Charlottesville City Schools. So, I think the academic part of it is sometimes what people are worried about. Is this going to be academically stimulating and rigorous for the students? And it absolutely is. And there's, as you heard about the classes at the high school as well as at Buford Middle School, there is that academic tie. What we do in the elementary schools as well with the programming there, whether it's First Piece to the Table or Harvest of the Month, there is a specific academic tie to everything that we're doing as we're getting them engaged, giving them leadership skills to grow on. And again, that learning about healthy food, healthy living, healthy bodies. So it's all tied in there.
Oh, that's some City Schoolyard Gardens, and they are going strong. Had a great season this year. Harvest went well, and they are doing a wonderful service for this community. So check them out as well. And they're always looking for volunteers to help them, especially adults and kids as well. But it's a wonderful, wonderful program. Thanks to all you guys at City Schoolyard Gardens. We'll be hearing from Jamie Barrett from Bel Air Farm in a few minutes. But right now I wanted to play an excerpt from, I visited Jenny Hopkins at Big Arms Farms, and she's got quite a story. It's a wonderful thing they're doing over there as well. So let's get right into that one, shall we?
Hey, this is MC Blair. I am with Jenny Hopkins of Big Arms Farm right here at Pippin Hill in the Featured Farmer Friday, a very important aspect to the agritourism movement that Pippin Hill is a big part of. Hi, Jenny Hopkins. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Thanks.
So all your flowers and your garlic and your peppers, they're all organically grown. Is that correct?
Yes. We'd say ecologically grown. An organic word has sort of been co-opted. And, well, you have to be certified, I guess, to use that word. So we say we grow it without any chemical pesticides or fertilizers in an ecological, sustainable way.
Oh, that's good. It's almost biodynamic in a way.
Yeah, sure. I definitely don't concoct potions during the full moon and sprinkle
right.
them at night, but
<That's>
like,
true,
there's yeah. a little pagan in there. Sometimes.
Yeah, awesome. And how long have you been doing this?
I've been farming for over 20 years. I got my start in 1996 at University of Santa Cruz at their sustainable agriculture program.
And you're located here in North Garden near Pippin Hill?
Yeah, I am extremely local, I like to say.
That's great. Say, Featured Farmers Friday adds to the local scene.
I think it connects the folks that are coming here, you know, thinking it's just for a glass of wine and lunch, and then they see who's in the neighborhood, how the land is being used, gives them a sense of what is beyond, you know, just the land right here of this beautiful farm. Makes them think about just the whole agriculture movement, local agriculture movement, and gives them an opportunity to take something home besides a bottle of wine. You know, they can take home some of my produce, some beautiful flowers. So it's just a great way to connect.
Do you participate in any of the farmers markets?
I do. I sell on Saturdays at the Nelson Farmers Market in Nellie's Ford.
Oh, good. Yes, I've been there. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I also have Diane Burns here from Pippin Hill. And we heard her at least, and she was mentioning it was about connections, right? Is that?
Yes, that's right. I think it's a great way for people to see where their food source, where it's coming from.
Makes sense. Yeah,
absolutely.
And you get tourists here from out of the area, and so then they are able to be exposed to what we're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. We get a lot of people from the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, from neighboring states that come here all the time.
So you have, are those little tomatoes or are those peppers or what are
they? They're called pumpkin on a stick.
Pumpkin on a stick.
And they're actually an ornamental eggplant. They've grown and they've fruited and their leaves have fallen off, and they start out green, and then as they mature they turn orange into that cute little pumpkin on a stick.
Oh my gosh. And how long do they last as an ornament?
They'll last for a good month, and then they'll just lose their luster, shrivel up a little bit. I still have some that I dried from my wedding 5 years ago, so, you know, you can keep them around. So cute. So,
and you've got these giant garlic. That's really beautiful. That's not elephant garlic either, is it?
No, that's a variety that they grow here at Pippin Hill. It's called Music Garlic, and it's named after the man who developed it. His last name is Music. And it has a stiff neck. It has great flavor. It's easy to peel, so it's an all-around winner.
I'm definitely going to get some of that before I leave, for sure. This is great. The beautiful, beautiful flowers. So, Jenny, tell us about the importance of local flowers.
Yeah, this is relatively new, which is, you know, odd, that we've been learning about local food and how important that is for our planet. And now people are suddenly like, oh, yeah, flowers too. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, basically, it's the same idea. We're growing in a way where we're not applying chemicals and fertilizers, that we are growing in a way that is healthier for the earth, healthier for the workers, and the flowers that are coming to your event aren't coming from Chile in an airplane, and, you know, the packaging and the extra, if it's a greenhouse with lights, you know, all of the carbon footprint that's attached to those flowers that you're flying in versus ones that have been harvested down the road the day before. They have a longer vase life. They smell better. I mean, you can smell these now. So it just makes sense all around.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Like the garden that you have, Diane, the native.
Yeah. So we specialize in native plants in the Meadow Garden, and that's to help rebuild our ecosystem, to bring in our native birds and butterflies and to rebuild all that.
And the pollinators are important.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, Jenny, you mentioned that you are also, I guess, next fall going to be selling beef shares for your grass-fed,
yes,
pastured animals.
Yes, we have four Hereford steers, and they are on 15 acres of pasture, so that's, we're extremely undergrazing our pasture. And they have, you know, a watering system that comes off a pond that we put in. Just, you know, are part of our own little ecosystem of our farm.
That's awesome.
There's forests, you know, around the pasture where the deer are coming and going, and the birds, the wildlife, that all of it attracts. And, you know, I've seen such a difference since, you know, they had to sacrifice 1/3 of an acre for my garden out of their pasture. But what a difference it's made to how many pollinators, how many birds. I mean, I went away for a week on vacation and came back, and a bird had made a nest in my zinnias, and I watched its eggs be hatched. And then just last week, the babies were fledged. And, you know, even this morning I was out harvesting a few extra flowers, and like, there was a bumblebee asleep on one, so we leave that behind. So, you know, you just are always making space for what you're attracting and bringing in. And it's incredible.
Sounds like they're part of the family.
Yeah, yeah. So you give a little bit extra and you get a lot more.
It's amazing. So, Jenny, I suppose the best way for somebody to express an interest or possibly purchase a beef share for next fall would be to see you at the farmer's market in Nelson?
Yes, yeah, on Saturdays from 8 till noon at Nellie's Ford is our farmer's market.
Yeah, I noticed they put up a big tent there for it.
Yes.
So
yeah.
If it's raining, not a problem.
Yeah, exactly. We're covered for the customers to have a dry experience if it's raining. We have music, live music every Saturday. It's a wonderful cooperatively owned farmer's market, owned by the farmers themselves. And we have strict guidelines there to keep everything very local. There's a 50-75 mile radius where everything has to come from, and everything that's sold has to be produced by the farmers there.
That's so incredible. And Diana, we, by the way, folks, we're on the veranda at Pippin Hill. And yes, it is raining, and no, we are not getting wet either.
No, it's nice out. I feel like I'm in the Scottish Highlands looking out with a mist hanging down over the mountains. It's
that beautiful. Is so true. That is so true.
It's inspiring there.
It is. It is. Jenny, you mentioned honoring the peoples or the inhabitants that were here before.
Sure, yeah. There's, of course, we could go back to the native people that were here, how they were stewarding the land, honoring that presence there. You know, when I was putting in my beets this fall, I found an arrowhead, you know, that is, always brings that to mind. But this land, in a more recent history of Pippin Hill, had the history of being the Albemarle County Fairgrounds.
I remember that.
And so I think it's, in a way, an honoring and keeping alive that tradition of bringing farmers to this land and connecting people that used to be here on this land that Pippin Hill is continuing today.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to restore the land, too, by planting a lot of native trees and shrubs and flowers, too.
That is awesome.
And we are back. This is MC Blair right here to your health on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And I went down to Bel Air Farm and talked with Jamie Barrett down there.
Is it there?
And he's got quite an operation, folks. He really does. It's certified organic, acres and acres and acres. He leases part of the land to a beef farmer, grass-fed beef farmer. And, of course, the cattle walk over the land and, you know, they fertilize it, make sure everything is good. And then, of course, they get fresh pasture daily. So they're moving around the land and really helping keep that soil healthy. It's all about healthy soil when you're talking about clean food. And I've got a great 2-minute drill for you. We'll be talking about that as well towards the end of the program. But right now, let's get to Jamie Barrett at Bel Air Farm. I'll be interrupting this. Oh, by the way, just to let you know, You know, I stopped and started and all that sort of thing when we were riding around the on the ATV all over the property. So it'll sound a little disjointed, but just put up with that, and because the information is absolutely fabulous and what he's doing down there. And he also does school tours and teaches. He's a teacher. He really is, and of course he's always wanted to do that as well. But he's a man of many talents. So without further ado, let's get to Jamie Barrett of Bel Air Farm.
Hey, this is MC Blair, and I'm here with Jamie Barrett of Bel Air Farm. Hey, Jamie, how are you?
Great, MC. I'm excited to have you out at the farm. Thanks
yeah,
for coming
it's,
out here.
It's fun. It's only about 30 minutes from town, folks, and you got to check it out because he has so many. Well, I'll let him tell you about all his all the programs they have for school children and people. You know, farm tours and all that. It's really really exciting to be here. Jamie, what was your life growing up, and why did you get into farming?
Oh, yeah. Well, it had a lot to do with why I got into farming. There was a history of farming in my family, mm-hmm. but it was removed from myself. So my father worked in business. He was in insurance. And my mother was a teacher. And kind of never quite understood what it was my dad did. He would go away and... But my grandfather had grown up in Iowa and farmed there, and when he moved to the East Coast, he had a small farm, he called it a farm, some cattle, and every big family gathering, we'd go to the farm, and we'd hear stories about farming, and I had always felt some kind of a disconnect in my life to the seasons and things kind of very elemental, like you know, the weather and how food is produced. And when I got older out of college, that really hit me, and I was thinking about family. I was thinking about raising a family and how I wanted my children to fit into the world and understand what their father, how I fit into the world. So it was all kind of rolled up in that philosophical void I was feeling. But also then I apprenticed on a farm, and I really loved the work of it. So the two things dovetailed for me. It was kind of the thoughtful part, but then also the actuality of the farm work, mm-hmm. that I really enjoyed.
What did you major in college?
I was an English major.
Literature. Oh my, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So later on you can write about it.
That's right.
Oh, that's really cool. So you say you felt a void, that obviously from hearing the stories.
Yeah, but also just, you know, in my life of eating, you know, what I was putting in my body, and a void to the natural world. You know, I was in college, I was studying literature, and was real cerebral, and I was not attached to anything that was very natural, and I wanted to do work that felt real, mm-hmm. In a very kind of basic way.
Yeah, and then, well, this is definitely, farming is real work, no doubt.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you say you've had a nice spring so far?
So far, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, April and early May were pretty perfect in mm-hmm. terms of, we were getting like an inch of rain every week, and then we get four or five sunny days, and that was awesome. I was one of the better ones we've had in the 9 years I've been here. Lately, this last 3 weeks, we've been real dry and a little hotter than I'd like, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to complain too much.
Last season
was a mess in uh-huh. terms of weather, so this year's been great so far.
Oh, good. Yeah. So you do produce, obviously.
Yes.
I see you at the city market.
Diversified vegetables.
Yeah, yep. Diversified vegetables. I've never heard it called that before.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so no monoculture here, right?
That's right. Yeah, no, we're all over the place.
Yeah. Well, I knew that. And then you also have chickens.
We raise chickens, hogs. Right. We have some rabbits on mm-hmm. the farm. And then we lease land to a grass-fed beef operation.
Right.
And we lease land to a sheep dairy.
And, now the beef, the cattle go on your land as well, right, to help?
Yes. So that was the idea. We wanted, we've got about 500 acres here that are usable for cultivation or pasture. And we wanted to have all of it kind of work together in a way and be as diversified as possible. So it's been great to find partners like the sheep, 20 Paces, and Steve Bissett, who raises the cattle. And we work with them to, when we're resting portions of our fields, they'll bring their animals on. It helps us keep the land fertile but through their manures and breaking up seed and disease.
You're listening to Your Health. This is MC Blair. Right here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We're talking to Jamie Barrett of Bel Air Farm. And so let's get right back to it.
And you mentioned 20 Paces and Steve Bissett. Are they both at the city market as well?
So Steve's grass-fed beef is all raised here, all sold through the farm. So we have it at our stand.
Oh, okay.
20 Paces does its own kind of marketing. They're up and down the East Coast in stores, but we also sell it here in our barn, and they are also at the markets.
Oh, okay. And they have a stand at the market?
They do.
So there's your stand, and you sell the grass-fed beef, and I know you sell chickens.
Yeah,
so they're really good, folks. So, and then obviously eggs and your produce
and our pork
and your pork,
yeah.
Right? And that's at the your farm stand at the market,
at the city market, the Mead Park Market, or here at the bottom.
Okay, yeah. And then 20 Paces has their own.
They have their own market stand, although we sell their stuff on Wednesdays at Mead Park.
Oh, okay.
And we have it here in the barn too.
Do you ever go to the Forest Lakes?
No, but
market.
We do have a new pickup option for our CSA up at Lake Monticello this year.
Oh, okay.
So we're in Crofton Plaza on Fridays from 3:30.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Let's ride.
Oh, cool.
We're gonna ride around the farm, folks.
Well, we're actually riding around now, and we're gonna go down to where the beef cattle are. And you guys really should come to Bel Air Farm, folks.
We'd love to have you out. Yeah, we have all sorts of programs for the public to come, but you're also just welcome to visit when we're open too. Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, or Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 2.
It's beautiful, folks. So, Jamie, you mentioned you've been here 9 years.
Yep, that's right. This is the 9th year of our CSA program. The landowner here, Cynthia Davis, she wanted to change the face of the farm and make it into this kind of diversified, sustainable model that you see here today. And so she's kind of the patron saint of the farm in all ways, and came down here 9 years ago to help her start and manage the business.
Man. And I'm sure she's glad you did.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, while you're still here.
So this is we've worked with Thomas Jefferson Soil and Water Conservation District, and they've helped us transform about 200 acres into perennial grasses for pasture, helping us set up some watering systems and fencing systems for the beef cattle that we have on the property. It's Red Devons, and they are usually in the midday, they're in the tree line.
Of course. Yeah.
So, our friend, I'm not going to do it right now.
That's okay. Well, isn't that a heritage breed?
They are an older breed, and they're good beef producers. So that,
right.
That's,
yeah.
And good at converting grass.
I know Ramona and Collins have a place down in Crozet, Griffin's area. They do the Devon, and they do the Banded Galloway.
And the
heritage breed. And so, yes, that's how I learned about that. And it's the best thing. That's what you want. Are the cattle that are meant for this area.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, right. And they because of their color, they can take the heat a little bit better than the Black Angus. And,
uh-huh.
and they've done real well for us in terms of, for Steve, in terms of providing the best grass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is beautiful, folks. I know in front of us, I believe the river is
Yeah,
down there.
The Hardware River is yep. right ahead, and that's what we do a lot of our irrigation from.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some pumps going right now, so I'll show you. You can kind of see the water reel. That burst of water.
Yes, yes, I see that. Yes.
So that is irrigating some of our lettuces and fennel and things like that.
That's really cool.
So we'll go take a close look.
All right. So we're coming into some a tree line.
Yeah, so
on
the
our right.
River will sit right before the tree line.
Right.
And then our growing fields are adjacent to the river. It's the most fertile land. It's kind of right down here.
Yeah, the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So traditionally, that is where the floodplains.
Oh,
there's
right.
Still a little bit of that, but
see the lettuces there. My yeah. goodness.
Yeah. So what you see here, we've got some lettuces, bok choy, kohlrabi, napa, more lettuce, some fennel.
So then you let a field go fallow for a year, right? Or do you just plant different crops?
Well, so we're in kind of a transition because we had planned on using about 60 acres down here and letting fields rest for a number of years before we grew on them for a number of years, let them rest for a number of years.
Okay.
But the last 2 years, the weather's been so unpredictable, and things that weren't flood prone are now becoming flood prone. So we're having to shrink our footprints a little bit and do more rotations within fields instead of letting whole fields go and sections of fields. So global warming is really affecting the way we're growing on this property.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It is. I just hope we don't get those storms that are out in the Midwest.
I know. Well, everything seems to be extreme. You know, it rarely, the last year and a half, 2 years, it rarely just kind of rains anymore. It rains like 2 inches now.
And, right.
You know, there's no kind of just
nice gentle rain,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
for a day or two. Right,
yeah.
I understand.
So here's some potatoes here.
Oh, right, of course.
We got more potatoes and Napa cabbage up there.
Oh, my. Yeah. Folks, you do have to come to this farm. That's all I can say.
Yeah, so the river is just right there.
Yeah.
And we have these little pumps that we use to get the water up from the Hardware.
I love to see all these little butterflies flying around where the water is.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, oh, my. I wanted to put a sign on my car that said, I break for butterflies.
I'm going to take you to see another field.
Okay.
And then we'll head back and I'll show you where they make the cheeses, where 20 Faces makes the cheese.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Okay. So.
Yeah, so what we're looking at over here is just our kale and collards,
beautiful.
Cabbages. We've got some tomatoes interspersed in here. This field has a lot of our eggplant and carrots and peppers in it as well. This is about a 10-acre field.
Mm-hmm. Folks, I'll tell you what. This is just great vegetables as far as the eye can see. It's gorgeous.
It's,
man.
It's been a nice spring.
Yeah. Wow.
And I just wanted to stop there, guys, because it's true. It was absolutely beautiful. And even though it was 90 outside Thursday when I went down, the humidity was so low that it was absolutely beautiful and bearable. You could actually stand the heat if you say. You're listening to Your Health. This is MC Blair, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We're going to listen to Jamie just for another minute and a half or so and take a little break and then get back to that. And you want to stay tuned for my two-minute drill. I think it's quite poignant, even if I do say so myself, and it gives you a lot of good information and some solutions as well.
Holy smokes.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, so these are all, is there some, a lot of this ready for harvest, is that?
A lot of this kale, the kale and collards here right in front of us are.
Yeah,
tomatoes will be another month and a half or so.
Right.
cabbages will be along in another, 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Yeah. And then we've got, most of our stuff goes through our CSA program, although we do are in some like Integral Yoga and Market Street Market, Greenwood Grocer. And then we do some market sales as well.
Yeah. So how's the CSA going?
Great. I mean, we get about 800 families and individuals involved a season. And just started. This is our second week, so we're just getting into the season with the folks, and it's been a lot of fun seeing their faces again and getting them on the farm.
I'll bet, man. Yeah. And now, do some of them come and help harvest?
That's not one of the requirements of this CSA. There are lots of CSAs. That's the cool thing about CSA, so many different models.
Sure.
But ours doesn't have a work requirement, although some of our members do come out and volunteer once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awfully nice. The CSA folks, in case you don't know, is communities supported agriculture, and as opposed to what I say, community based agriculture. Two different things. Community based, of course, is where you're out there and the whole community's out there growing a community garden, and interacting all the kids and everything, and so that community is closer together.
Yeah.
And there's a community supported agriculture, of course, is where you deliver and farm pickup as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We do have a pick your own component in there. Mm-hmm. People come out and we want people to interact and create a meaningful relationship with land that's producing their food. So we encourage folks to come out to the farm for sure.
Oh, man. There you go, folks. I'm telling you got to come out. That's mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. And are you full? Is your CSA full?
We are full right now.
You are
but
full. Okay.
We will have a fall share. Mm-hmm. It's a 4 week share mid-October to mid-November. And that will get that up on the website in the next couple weeks and start. So that's a good way to kind of get into the CSA and mm-hmm. kind of see how it feels, and those folks always get first dibs on the next season along with our members.
That's a lot of root vegetables and stuff in the fall, right?
Yeah, and greens again, really nice greens again in the fall.
Yeah.
And so that's a fun time of year.
Yeah, it is. So we'll get back to him in just a couple of seconds. Hey, we're back. Right now we've been talking with Jamie Barrett of Bel Air Farm. So without further ado, we'll get back to it.
To get involved, too, there's a good diversified crop there, some winter squashes.
And how can somebody get into this? What's the requirement?
Yeah, that you just want to go to our website, belairfarm.com, and it's $150 for the full share for the 4 weeks, and I think it's about $85 for the half share.
Okay. Yeah, and what do they get for that?
They'll get the full share gets a standard grocery store bag that they choose what they put in there once a week for the 4 weeks, and the half share gets a half volume bag.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's good food, real food.
That's right.
No doubt.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
doubt.
Yeah, and of course we'd love to see folks at our market stands too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're happy to help you out anywhere you want to come pick up.
Awesome. Now, I noticed your electric fences are solar powered. Is that correct?
That's right. So we have a regular car battery that's charged with solar panels to electrify the fences.
That's awesome.
And those are to keep the deer out.
Yeah, keep the deer out. Absolutely. And it works.
It works
deer.
Yeah. And well, part of the reason it works is we actually bait the fence. We want the deer to come and have a bad experience.
Oh, okay.
And then they won't come back to that area.
Absolutely. It worked. And by the way, I didn't mention it before, but this farm is certified organic, folks.
That's right. We're certified through PCO, Pennsylvania Certified Organic.
Uh-huh.
And we've been certified, I think this is our fourth or fifth year we've been certified now.
That's great. So, what's this field?
Yeah, so this field over here is a field we'll use in a little later in the season.
Oh, okay.
Part of the rotations of the fields.
Right. So what's growing there now? Just grasses, I guess.
Yeah. Right now, there's probably some sorghum and clover left over from a cover crop we did a year ago. But we'll be in here in the next 3 weeks to start getting it ready for this coming season.
Oh, okay.
sweet potatoes will go in here.
Love
winter
me some
squashes.
Sweet potatoes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this we would call Eagle Field because there's an eagle's nest right above it.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And a little earlier, Jamie pointed out a couple of snake trails going across.
That's right.
Going across, you could see where the snakes were headed to the river, I guess.
We've got a lot of these dirt roads out here, and the snakes love to sun themselves on the dirt roads.
Right.
And see their wiggly path across.
Yeah. Well, they're very important for farm.
Sure. I mean, you know, biological diversity is the most important thing for our soil, and of course, we got a lot of nature out here in general. So.
Yeah, generally, yeah. I've always said it, I really wish that somehow we could get our government to say the, you know, four most important things are clean air, clean water, clean soil, and clean food.
Yeah,
and
right.
Anything that messes with that cannot happen.
That'd be wonderful.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen with the current administration.
No.
No.
So some of the fields are actually in the floodplain, right?
That's right. There are part of the thing we've been doing these last 9 years is figuring out, you know, which fields are safe and which fields aren't safe. And sometimes we figure out the hard way.
Yeah.
And so now we've got a really good sense of, you know, when it's okay to plant in certain fields. The fields with the best soil are sometimes fields we can't use in the spring just because they're too flood prone, but they're great in midsummer and fall.
Man.
These are some of our meat bird coops that we have out here in the grass.
Oh, okay.
We do some broiler hens in the spring and the fall. So we just finished our spring production. We'll get some more in the fall.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've had their chicken. It's really, really good, folks.
Well, there's so many... It's a great area to live in for foodies because there's just wonderful producers all around doing pretty amazing things.
And it looks like we're coming up on 20 paces sheep, right?
That's right, yep. And what makes their cheese, besides, you know, the vast knowledge of their cheesemaker,
right.
Bridge and Tom and Kyle, is so great is that they rotate the sheep through the grass frequently. So they're moving their sheep once or twice a day. So they're just getting the best of the pasture each day and then moving on to the best of the next pasture.
They're all huddled up under the trees.
Yeah, it's going to be 90 today. So they're trying to grab some shade. There they are.
They're so cool.
Lambing season's pretty special to watch that happen. It's passed a little bit, but it's fun to be around.
Yeah, do you cuddle them like you do with goats?
I don't want to smash my image of...
Oh.
But yes.
Yeah. Now we're going through an area of beautiful shade and nice old tall trees. Gorgeous.
Yeah, this is bringing us right up to where 20 Paces produces their products, their cheeses.
Okay, their cheeses.
And where they do their milking.
Uh-huh.
So that's coming up on the left here, these buildings up here.
Cool.
They've done a lot of renovation to get them to where they need to be for their production.
Right. So we're up at the 20 Paces where they do their milking. And
yeah, they milk right there.
Okay.
And this is their cheese-making facility over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some storage back here. So all of it is, you know, full circle right here on the farm in terms of from the grass to the cheese and the sheep in between.
Yeah. So awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, a big stack of manure looks like.
That's right.
That's great. Nice and it actually smells good. It really does. A lot of people think, no, it's beautiful. Gorgeous. Hey, we're doing well.
Good.
Doing well.
Good. You having a good day?
Yes. We're interviewing for my show, To Your Health, on WPVC Saturday morning, 11 to 12.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So you're part of the 20 Paces crew?
Yes, I'm their intern. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. I live in that crew.
All right. So what's your name?
Danielle.
Danielle, and you're an intern with 20 Paces?
Yep.
How is that?
It's so much fun. Learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly patience. It's a different game working with animals, but it's a lot of fun. Learning a lot about, like, just power tools.
Right, oh my.
And milking and just taking care of the animals and doing, like, intermittently doing just, like, very industrial things after mm-hmm. doing very simple things. So it's very, the juxtaposition is very
yeah.
good from going, like, from the milk house into the open barn. So it's a lot of fun. It's
awesome. Yeah. That's great. How could somebody get become an intern?
They had a posting that one of my friends emailed me about, and I was off at the time, and I work in the kitchen, in a kitchen as a job. I'm a cook.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
Oh, me too.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I have a long, long history of catering.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love cooking. I really believe in farm to table, like everybody should, but
yes.
I wanted like a deeper in-depth understanding of what farmers do and how they do it and why.
And that's on the 20 Paces website?
Oh, no. They put it on Good Food Jobs. They were just looking
okay.
for somebody to come in and help. There's only 3 guys that work here.
Oh, right.
Plus me. So.
Oh, good.
There's
yeah.
a lot to do.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, I'd like to get back to it. Thank you, Danielle.
Yeah, thanks. Nice right. to meet you. See you later.
Oh, and one more thing, folks. I gotta tell ya, one more thing, folks. I gotta tell ya, one more thing, folks. I gotta tell ya, one more thing. Wow. Well, I'm surprised that happened. sounded like a record skipping. So, I guess that interview's over. Yeah. Well, you know, what we do for radio. To Your Health, MC Blair, right here. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And I've got this piece that I wrote, and it's my two-minute drill. I like to call it my two-minute drill. It's a little bit longer than that. But it's really, I really feel strongly about this. Say, let's face it, our survival as a species depends on 3 basic needs being met. We need clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and clean food to eat. Let me say that again. Clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and clean food to eat. And it goes without saying, if we breathe in dirty air, our lungs are going to suffer, and our resources will be spent trying to heal them. However, if the air is still polluted, it's like trying to catch a shadow. The water we drink and the food we eat should also be clean and free from poisons, carcinogens, antibiotics, and any other man-made additive that slowly weakens our immune system, leaving us with less than optimal defenses against disease. Unfortunately, clean air, clean water, and clean food is not a priority of the powers running our food and health systems. Huh, can you believe that? But if you go and ask the individuals face-to-face, they'll say, oh yeah, clean air, water, and food is important. And then go back to work. It's business as usual, placating the corporate elite who only care about the bottom line. No wonder FDR said, corporations are the enemy of the people. Now, yes, many jobs are provided by corporations. However, it's the corporate structure that dictates the bottom line is the only thing without regard to the people. And I thought this country was of, by, and for the people. Really? Evidently, it's not, according to the national food system. It's about the bottom line. It's about making rich people richer. And the actual farmers doing the work, they don't make much money. Heck no. We just had the current occupant of the White House wants to give aid to the farmers. And he thinks, well, because they're getting hurt by the tariffs, I'll give them this $14 billion or $17 billion or whatever. Well, gosh, folks, you know something? The actual farmers don't see it. That goes to the corporations, his cronies. Yes, indeed. And so there you go. The enemy of the people are the corporations only because of the structure.
So let's keep going. He says, I need to add clean, healthy soil to this list because clean food is not possible without clean soil. Changing the national food and health system can happen, but it starts right here at home by changing one community at a time. Now, we here in Charlottesville and the surrounding counties have the land, and with a concerted community effort, we could achieve food security so that we wouldn't even have to be part of the national poisonous food system. The combined contributions of local farms like Bel Air Farm, City Schoolyard Gardens, you heard it earlier, and the Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville, or UACC, and the community at large should be an example to all of us that through education and hands-on experience, eating habits can be changed to a more healthy diet, leading to less obesity, a healthier brain, and a general feeling of well-being. We are what we eat. The good news is fewer resources would be spent on health care, and because our children will be working beside others from different cultures and different skin colors, over time, it will result in citizens who are not only healthier, but who tend to get along. Say, can't we all just get along? Well, yes, we can. Let me say that again. When you have children working together and they're from other cultures and different skin colors, over time, it will result in citizens who are not only healthier, but who tend to get along. Yeah, there you go, folks. Thanks to City Schoolyard Gardens and Jamie Barrett of Bel Air Farm and other local farms who have school programs and farm tours. They are educating the community. And then you can go to City Market and buy the produce and or join a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, and get your, you know, your delivery every single week. It's just a wonder. We're so blessed to have these farmers right here in our area. I want to thank Jamie Barrett of Bel Air and all the fine farmers and artisans from our archives that I played. And thanks for listening, folks. Remember, communities working together toward food security and social acceptance are keys to your health.